The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know what... Whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there it is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but... Okay. Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay. Ready? Sure.
There's no words there. To play us out. What does that mean? To play us out.
It's Sting is going to do... It's a video. Sting video.
What is
for credits?
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
He's so sexy.
All right, go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it.
Okay. In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with a... I can't do it.
Okay.
We'll do it live.
Okay. Do it live!
No. We'll do it live! Fuck
it! Do it live! Fuck
do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
Ooh. Yeah. 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
Oh, man, he is so sexy. Hey! Or not. Oh, what you're missing is him, punching the air. Because, you know, he's a big man. Big, big, big man. Big man's got to hit on all the women. Do it live! Do it live! Why would anybody ever, ever be with that man? I guess some do it for the money. Some do it for, or did it, for the, because they felt if they didn't, their careers would be over. But this is a predator who preyed on women, professional women, and he threatened them with the ends of their careers. And yet another one came forward yesterday against him. He has settled cases in the tens of millions of dollars. Bill O'Reilly, what a... Yeah, right? Jay Colley in the chat room said, and he had the nerve to make fun of Maxine Waters' hair. Amazing. But, you know, the women who watch the fake news channel, and now he's threatening to sue Wendy Walsh for defamation because she spoke out yesterday with, what's her name, Lisa Bloom. I'll tell you, the best thing I've ever heard Lisa Bloom say was this.
How many women have to come forward? How many millions of dollars have to get paid before Fox News takes sexual harassment seriously? In my opinion, this network is the Bill Cosby of corporate America.
Touche, the Bill Cosby of corporate America. Yet, here's the opposite world in which we live. People, women, older white women, still watch that dreck. And they defend that monster the same way they defend dump, right? There's a problem here with these white women
Hey, where are the white women at?
Yeah, the same ones who voted for Dump, who look the other way with this kind of behavior. There is something inherently wrong with them. This whole part, almost half of the nation, I don't want to say half even, because it was about a quarter of the nation who voted for Dump, who still watch this this charade on the TV, you know, the original fake news channel.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
Every day, every hour of the day, and we have a president who tweets stuff based on what he sees on the fake news channel. Oh my God, and you wonder why I always talk about opposite world.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
You know, there are days when I just think we are living. We have fallen through the rabbit hole. We have gone through the looking glass. We are living in opposite world. How can this crap be happening? And yet it does. Trump keeps on going. I mean, today I don't even know what it was. He gave a speech to business people and he kept going on and on about his Electoral College win. Really? Get the fuck over it already and do your goddamn job. It is stunning. The idiocy, the dishonesty, the utter lies and ugliness coming from this administration and those who support it. Where do I take solace? Of all places, the Los Angeles Times. Now, I moved away from LA. I lived there for about 15 years. And I left in 2001, shortly after 9/11, actually. It was a coincidence, but that's when I left LA. And I don't usually miss the LA Times. But after this weekend, and, well, this week, I kind of do. I may have to like subscribe to them for the digital edition just because of the four-part op-ed they ran or are still running, because part three ran today, part four runs tomorrow. Obviously, I can't read the whole thing for you, so I will read for you part one. Part one of this four-part unprecedented editorial from the Los Angeles Times. And remember, this is the Tribune Company, not exactly a bastion of liberalism, right? But the LA Times editorial board has written a four-part editorial that began on Sunday with part one, Our Dishonest President. And I'm going to read to you part one. I will then post a link to it on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com. Part two is titled Why Trump Lies. Part three that ran today is Trump's authoritarian vision. And part four, all it says is Wednesday. So we'll have to wait till tomorrow for the big finish. But part one, the headline reads Our Dishonest President. And here's what they wrote. It was no secret during the campaign that Donald Trump was a narcissist and a demagogue who used fear and dishonesty to appeal to the worst in American voters. The Times called him unprepared and unsuited for the job he was seeking and said his election would be a catastrophe. Still, nothing prepared us for the magnitude of this train wreck. Like millions of other Americans, we clung to a slim hope that the new president would turn out to be all noise and bluster, or that the people around him in the White House would act as a check on his worst instincts, or that he would be sobered and transformed by the awesome responsibilities of the office. Instead, 70-some days in, and with about 1,400 to go before his term is completed, it is increasingly clear that those hopes were misplaced. In a matter of weeks, President Trump has taken dozens of real-life steps that, if they are not reversed, will rip families apart, foul rivers and pollute the air, intensify the calamitous effects of climate change, and profoundly weaken the system of American public education for all. His attempt to de-insure millions of people who had finally received health care coverage and, along the way, enact a massive transfer of wealth from the poor to the rich has been put on hold for the moment. but he is proceeding with his efforts to defang the government's regulatory agencies and bloat the Pentagon's budget, even as he supposedly retreats from the global stage. These are immensely dangerous developments which threaten to weaken this country's moral standing in the world, imperil the planet, and reverse years of slow but steady gains by marginalized or impoverished Americans. But chilling as they are, these radically wrong-headed policy choices are not, in fact, the most frightening aspect of the Trump presidency. What is most worrisome about Trump is Trump himself. He is a man so unpredictable, so reckless, so petulant, so full of blind self-regard, so untethered to reality that it is impossible to know where his presidency will lead or how much damage he will do to our nation. His obsession with his own fame, wealth, and success, his determination to vanquish enemies real and imagined, his craving for adulation. These traits were, of course, at the very heart of his scorched earth outsider campaign. Indeed, some of them helped get him elected. But in a real presidency in which he wields unimaginable power, they are nothing short of disastrous. Although his policies are, for the most part, variations on classic Republican positions, many of which would have been undertaken by a President Ted Cruz or a President Marco Rubio, they become far more dangerous in the hands of this imprudent and erratic man. Many Republicans, for instance, support tighter border security and a tougher response to illegal immigration. But Trump's cockamamie border wall, his impractical campaign promise to deport all 11 million people living in the country illegally, and his blithe disregard for the effect of such proposals on the U.S. relationship with Mexico turn a very bad policy into an appalling one. In the days ahead, the Times editorial board will look more closely at the new president with a special attention to three troubling traits. Number one, Trump's shocking lack of respect for those fundamental rules and institutions on which our government is based. Since January 20th, he has repeatedly disparaged and challenged those entities that have threatened his agenda, stoking public distrust of essential institutions in a way that undermines faith in American democracy. He has questioned the qualifications of judges and the integrity of their decisions, rather than acknowledging that even the president must submit to the rule of law. He has clashed with his own intelligence agencies, demeaned government workers, and questioned the credibility of the electoral system and the Federal Reserve. He has lashed out at journalists, declaring them, quote, enemies of the people, rather than defending the importance of a critical, independent, free press. His contempt for the rule of law and the norms of government are palpable. Number two, his utter lack of regard for truth. Whether it is the easily disprovable boasts about the size of his inauguration crowd or his unsubstantiated assertion that Barack Obama bugged Trump Tower, the new president regularly muddies the waters of fact and fiction. It's difficult to know whether he actually can't distinguish the real from the unreal or whether he intentionally conflates the two to befuddle voters, deflect criticism, and undermine the very idea of objective truth. Whatever the explanation, he is encouraging Americans to reject facts, to disrespect science, documents, nonpartisanship, and the mainstream media, and instead to simply take positions on the basis of ideology and preconceived notions. This is a recipe for a divided country in which differences grow deeper and rational compromise becomes impossible. Number three, his scary willingness to repeat alt-right conspiracy theories, racist memes, and crackpot out-of-the-mainstream ideas. Again, it's not clear whether he believes them or merely uses them. But to cling to disproven, quote, alternative facts, to retweet racists, to make unverifiable or false statements about rigged elections and fraudulent voters, to buy into discredited conspiracy theories first floated on fringe websites and in supermarket tabloids, these are all of a piece with the Barack Obama birther claptrap that Trump was peddling years ago and which brought him to political prominence. It is deeply alarming that a president would lend the credibility of his office to ideas that have been rightly rejected by politicians from both major political parties. Where will this end? Will Trump moderate his crazier campaign positions as time passes? Or will he provoke confrontation with Iran, North Korea, or China? Or disobey a judge's order? Or order a soldier to violate the Constitution? Or, alternately, will the system itself, the Constitution, the courts, the permanent bureaucracy, the Congress, the Democrats, the marchers in the streets, protect us from him as he alienates more and more allies at home and abroad, steps on his own message, and creates chaos at the expense of his ability to accomplish his goals? Already, Trump's job approval rating has been hovering in the mid-30s, according to Gallup, a shockingly low level of support for a new president. And that was before his former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, offered to cooperate last week with congressional investigators looking into the connection between the Russian government and the Trump campaign. On Inauguration Day, we wrote on this page, we being the LA Times editorial board, that it was not yet time to declare a state of wholesale panic or to call for blanket non-cooperation with the Trump administration. Despite plenty of dispiriting signals, that is still our view. The role of the rational opposition is to stand up for the rule of law, the electoral process, the peaceful transfer of power, and the role of institutions. We should not underestimate the resiliency of a system in which laws are greater than individuals and voters are as powerful as presidents. This nation survived Andrew Jackson and Richard Nixon. It survived slavery. It survived devastating wars. Most likely, it will survive again. But if it is to do so, those who oppose the new president's reckless and heartless agenda must make their voices heard. Protesters must raise their banners. Voters must turn out for elections. Members of Congress, including and especially Republicans, must find the political courage to stand up to Trump. Courts must safeguard the Constitution. State legislators must pass laws to protect their citizens and their policies from federal meddling. All of us who are in the business of holding leaders accountable must redouble our efforts to defend the truth from his cynical assaults. The United States is not a perfect country and has a great distance to go before it fully achieves its goals of liberty and equality. But preserving what works and defending the rules and values on which democracy depends are a shared responsibility. Everybody has a role to play in this drama. This is the first in a series. And to the Los Angeles Times, we say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That, the first, the Sunday editorial was called Our Dishonest President. The second one that appeared Monday was Why Trump Lies. The third one in today's Los Angeles Times is Trump's Authoritarian Vision. And tomorrow, the fourth and final part, coming Wednesday, is all it says. And I can't wait. You know, more and more, we need to push back. Because I'll tell you, the pushiest voices are the ridiculous apologists for that narcissist sociopath. He is a scary, scary man. And the people who support and enable him are even scarier. We got a lot of work to do. And again, the parallels between the sexism, the misogyny, the climate of an unsafe experience for women at Fox News is the same thing as in his administration. You know, today is equal pay day. In other words, a woman would have had to work all of 2016 and up and through today, April 4th of 2017, before she equals the pay that a man doing the same job with the same qualifications would have received for just working through 2016. And to celebrate, Dump very quietly last week undid most of Barack Obama's protections for women along those lines, as they make a big stink about Ivanka taking on a role in the White House. The times, they are scary. All the more reason why we all need to be involved and stand up and fight back and say, hell no. Hell no. Oh, there's so much to talk about today. Gotta Laugh will be here to talk about all of it with us. But to bring you up to date on what's going on with, the Supreme Court fight and more, let's just check in with today's What's News. I read the
news today, oh boy. It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Senate Judiciary Committee on Monday voted 11-9 along party lines to move Trump's Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch to the full Senate for debate. Soon after the death of Justice Antonin Scalia, a full 8 months before the November election, then-President Obama nominated the eminently qualified Merrick Garland for the seat, but the Senate Republicans refused to even hold hearings, setting a new precedent for obstructionism, keeping the ninth seat on the Supreme Court open for more than 400 days. Yet they have the gall to accuse the Democrats of being the obstructionists?
Hypocrite, you dirty hypocrite. You're gonna pay the price someday.
Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Richard Burr, who's holding himself up as an example of a responsible adult as compared to his House counterpart Devin Nunes, showed his true colors in October of 2016 when he said that not only would they block Obama's nominee, they'd keep the seat open indefinitely if Hillary Clinton was to win the presidency.
If Hillary Clinton becomes president, I'm going to do everything I can do to make sure that 4 years from now, we've still got an opening on the Supreme Court.
And the reasonable, mavericky John McCain said, me too.
I promise you that we will be united against any Supreme Court nominee that Hillary Clinton, if she were president, would put up.
But Orrin Hatch, who has said that he would have voted to confirm his good friend Merrick Garland if his party had allowed a vote, tied himself in knots trying to defend the indefensible.
Why was it the right thing to do to not even hold an up or down vote 8 months out from an election? Why was that for the American people? And what the Democrats are trying to do now, not correct.
That's what democracy is.
No, that's not democracy. That's obstruction for obstruction's sake.
Democracy says that, you can hold a vote or you don't have to hold a vote. I was willing to go ahead with it. But to make a long story short, the Republicans acted fully and wholly within the rules, and I think did so properly. In all honesty, Republicans acted totally properly in that particular matter.
Senator, but they look at you and say, that's a double standard. I mean, you call Judge Gorsuch one of the most qualified judges ever be nominated. Almost everyone said the same thing about Merrick Garland, including you. So there seems to be a double standard where you're saying it was all right last year when we, for political reasons, halted the nomination of Merrick Garland, but it's not okay this year when Democrats try to halt the nomination of Judge Gorsuch. Why is that not a double standard?
I'll just tell you straight out, that's total BS what you're saying there, because there, I can't go back in time and show you any case where during a presidential election year they've allowed a Supreme Court justice to be nominated unless both sides agreed, and both sides didn't agree.
Not only a double standard, but the sign of the Democrats now have over 41 votes against cloture to filibuster the Supreme Court nomination. Despite all the protests from the Republicans, the rule is still in place. Therefore, it's there to be used. The reason the Senate Democrats killed the filibuster for lower court judicial nominees is because the Republicans filibustered dozens of circuit court nominees over the previous 8 years. To hear them today, you'd think they'd never use the filibuster themselves.
Talking about the things you're doing, you're a hypocrite and you lie. Oh, keep talking about the harm you're causing, cause it all comes back in time.
So now the GOP is threatening the nuclear option, doing away with the filibuster for the Supreme Court. The very serious people on the television seem shocked, I tell you, that the Democrats would risk that on Gorsuch when the next pick Dump gets could be so much worse. Seriously, serious people? With all of this saber-rattling, why think they'd hesitate to push the nuclear button next time? Speaking of the nuclear option.
He's unpredictable, critics say vain and vindictive.
Who is? The guy who threatened in an interview with the Financial Times, quote, "Well, if China is not going to solve North Korea, we will. That is all I'm telling you."
He's unpredictable, critics say vain and vindictive.
I know, you think Trump, right?
China is the one that can, the only one that can control Kim Jong-un, this crazy fat kid that's running North Korea. He's not rational. We're not dealing with even with someone like Joseph Stalin, who had a certain rationality to his barbarity.
That was the kid part that gave it away. But the description fits both Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. Speaking of dear leader, maybe Dump will stick Jared Kushner on him. Or perhaps he'll just call Dennis Rodman.
Jared Kushner, who of course is married to his daughter Ivanka, went to Iraq today, where he met with the Iraqi prime minister, which is strange because Jared Kushner is a real estate developer. He's 36 years old. He has no experience dealing with foreign governments. This is a guy who negotiates rent. His job is to figure out how much it will cost to put a Dunkin' Donuts on the first floor of an office building. Dennis Rodman has more foreign policy experience than Jared Kushner.
If you enjoy my What's New segments, please check out The Nicole Sandler Show, weekdays from 3 to 4 Eastern, and consider a donation so I can keep running without a paywall. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. I really can't do it without you.
And that's today's dose of Nicole Sandler's What's News. Hear Nicole's show Tuesday through Friday from 3 to 4 Eastern at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air. You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on the Progressive Voices Network and NicoleSandler.com.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Laffy on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, gotta laugh. Uh-oh, hello.
Oh, yes,
oh, there you are.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah, can you hear me? Oh, good. That's always helpful. You've reached the Supreme Court hotline.
Oh, cool. Perfect,
yes,
perfect timing
timely.
Right after What's News, yeah.
Exactly.
I love it. This is high-tech answering machine stuff because it answers me, but okay. Hi.
It's true. I'm a bot that's been programmed to respond.
Cool.
Press one if you think Trump thinks that the Senate going nuclear means they get to recess, go to a bar, and get bombed.
Yeah,
nuclear.
Nuclear.
Bomb.
Got
okay.
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Little bit of a stretch.
I did it with the Kim Jong-un stuff in What's News, so it works.
Oh, okay, good. Press two if you think Trump wants Diana Ross to retire because, well, he thinks she shouldn't be one of the Supremes.
Absolutely.
Press three if you think upon further reflection, Trump is now okay with the Senate's nuclear option because he thinks it's being used to bomb North Korea. Have a nice day. Oh, I wish I could hear your buzzer because I don't know how to time my answers
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, it's just, you know what, you say it and I hit the beep. Yeah.
I've just jumped in after a second just to make sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's this whole thing that you were playing, where it was what's his name? Oh my God, not
Bill O'Reilly.
Orrin Hatch.
Well, Orrin Hatch. No. Yes, Orrin Hatch.
Yeah. This whole hypocrisy where they've broken two major rules. They broke the rules by refusing to so much as meet with Garland, let alone have a hearing.
Yeah.
And then they want to change the rules with the nuclear option. And then they blame the Democrats.
And again, I mean, as I said in there, and I felt like I had to make a point of it, the reason the Democrats scuttled the filibuster for judicial nominations for the lower courts is because for 8 years, the Republicans filibustered every circuit court every federal judge, that there was a backlog of dozens of judges that they couldn't fill because the Republicans were filibustering them.
Exactly. And, if you could see my head, I'm nodding as you're speaking.
The hypocrisy is just stunning. And you know, you listen to the corporate media and they're all now trying to be so fair, you know, both sides do
ridiculous.
It kind of thing. And I'm scream at the TV, somebody talk about the 8 years they filibustered every goddamn thing.
That's what annoys me so much, well, among other things, about watching cable news. I don't watch network news, so I have to assume it's, you know, cable we're all talking about here. Mm-hmm. And that is they are sometimes really good at challenging certain things, but they let other major arguments go by. And you just picked up on one of them, that for 8 years they did nothing but obstruct, whether it was on legislation, simple proposals, and absolutely judges.
Yeah.
They did nothing but obstruct and block. And now they're acting as if those 8 years didn't exist. And no one says to them, you know what, there are other parts of those 8 years that existed too, not just what we're talking about here, but what you and Nicole just talked about.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts.
Yep. And it gets worse. I mean, then the other thing, the other, you know, meme, not the pictorial meme, but the other road that they go down is, I don't understand why the Democrats would filibuster Gorsuch. I mean, he's a reasonable guy. You know, why not wait till the next one? Because the next one they bring out, that's going to be the really, you know, right-wing crazy one. So why don't they wait for it? Why? Because they'll just nuke it then. So what's the point? Why?
Exactly. The same procedures, the same conversations, the same fights will be happening on the next one. There is no difference. If they're gonna get beaten on this one then and nuked on the next one. So what's the difference?
Exactly.
Either way, they're gonna do the same thing. Nobody says that. And the other thing is, you were saying that, you know, that they are saying, oh, the Democrats are not focused on his attributes. Well, okay, first of all, they're just there to fight us because they're out of revenge. Well, first of all, it's not revenge. It's correcting something that went terribly wrong.
You know,
in our democracy.
And you mentioned, okay, Orrin Hatch, the whole double standard here. Let me, I've got the clip isolated. So he tied himself in knots trying to come up with an answer for this. Listen to this.
Senator, but they look at you and say, that's a double standard. I mean, you call Judge Gorsuch one of the most qualified judges ever be nominated. Almost everyone said the same thing about Merrick Garland, including you. So there seems to be a double standard where you're saying it was all right last year when we, for political reasons, halted the nomination of Merrick Garland, but it's not okay this year when Democrats try to halt the nomination of Judge Gorsuch. Why is that not a double standard?
I'll just tell you straight up, that's total BS of what you're saying there, because there, I can't go back in time and show you any case where during a
He had no answer. Oh, because we can't show any time that in an election year that they've ever done this before. Bullshit. There have been other Supreme Court justices appointed in election years. They lie. They lie to fit their narrative.
Absolutely. And there's another thing. We're allowed to do this. The Democrats are allowed to do
this. It's in place. The filibuster still exists, which means you can use it.
Exactly. Some troll came up to me, you know, on Twitter today and said something like that. Like, he's allowed to appoint he's allowed to put in anyone he wants. No, he's not.
He's not
allowed to. He's allowed to nominate.
Yep.
He's allowed to suggest. And then there's this thing called advise and consent.
That's right.
There are rules that allow that. And until those rules are taken away, which they're about to be, then we get to have a say. We get to have a say anyway.
Yep.
We get to vote.
That's right. And the thing is, what about Obama? He still had 8 months. We elected him twice. He was in office. He had the right to nominate and have his nominee sit for hearings. They wouldn't even let him have a hearing.
And their argument to that is, well, during a campaign, well, you know what? The campaign ended. And then we had an election. And between November and January, they still wouldn't let him do it.
That's right. They still wouldn't have hearings. By the way, there was one other. I didn't have time to fit it in, but I found this one fascinating. This is Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut when he was explaining why he was voting against Gorsuch. Listen to this.
I will vote against the nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch today. I made this decision after questioning him extensively in private and in our hearing, reviewing his record, and deliberating carefully and deeply. It's one of the most important votes I will ever cast. I am still angry about the treatment of Merrick Garland. Our Republican colleagues have said that if the shoe were on the other foot, this side would have done the same. It would have been as wrong if we had done it as it was when they did. But my vote is not about Merrick Garland. It is all about Neil Gorsuch. And it is about the constitutional crisis that may well be looming as a potential threat to our democracy. The FBI director has revealed that his agency is investigating ties between President Donald Trump's associates and Russian meddling election. The independence of our judicial branch has never been more threatened or more important. Possibility of a Supreme Court needing to enforce a subpoena against the President of the United States is far from idle speculation.
You
it
think?
Has happened before in United States versus Nixon.
United States versus Nixon. He's talking about the possibility of impeachment.
Right.
And
right.
Ted Lieu.
What a smart thing to say.
Very much so. And Ted Lieu has said it too, in not the same words, but he has said, look, while this White House is under investigation for collusion, whether there's any there or not, do I know if they colluded in the election? No. But do I believe that the members of this Trump, both the transition team and the administration, have had really just sort of fishy connections with the Russians? Yes. While there's an investigation going on, he shouldn't be allowed to do anything.
Just as they said about Hillary, if she were to have gotten in, they said that they wouldn't even entertain the thought.
Yep. By the way, and
of having her nominate anybody, especially. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was Richard Burr who, I know What's News goes by fast. Richard Burr, he is the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee. You know how Richard Burr and his Democratic counterpart, the co-chair, I'm drawing a blank right now. They're making such a show of that. You know that they're the adults in the room. Well, it was Richard Burr who was caught on tape saying this.
Hillary Clinton becomes president, I'm going to do everything I can do to make sure that 4 years from now, we've still got an opening on the Supreme Court.
I will do everything I can to make sure that 4 years from now, there's still an opening on the Supreme Court. Are you fucking kidding me? And John McCain. Me too. So that's my, that's him from Horton Hears a Who. Yeah, well, this is what
I promise you that we will be united against any Supreme Court nominee that Hillary Clinton, if she were president, would put up.
We'll be united against any nominee that she'd put up. So really, and now he's the one, he's saying that this is unheard of, this is obstructionism. Give me a fucking break. Boo fucking who. Mark Warner, thank you.
Yeah. I'll look it up.
So, you know, the hypocrisy, that's why, it was all about hypocrisy today. Ugh.
Yeah, no, it's getting progressively worse. And meanwhile, you want to talk about hypocrisy. All these people are tacitly permitting Trump to be the other O'Reilly. They have tacitly or openly just ignored the fact that he's a groping serial sex.
Uh-oh, I lost you. Yeah,
what's his name, Roger Ailes.
Yes. All of this sexual harassment, why do these women, and I'm talking about the women because there are a lot of older white women who watch the fake news channel and like it's the gospel, like Dump, you know, he watched, that's his intelligence. He went on a Twitter rampage again this weekend. And what information he gets from Fox, who makes shit up. They make shit up. This is what they do.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
And that's where he gets his information that he tweets out as if it were fact.
He is such an infant. He is such a child. And what's her name was on, Rice, was on with Andrea Mitchell today.
Susan Rice, yeah.
Yeah, and she was trying to set the record straight. She did an okay job of it. She didn't get too specific, so people are criticizing her for not out and out saying, I did not do X, Y, and Z, but she said, I did not do X, Y, and Z. She just didn't say precisely, I didn't everything they're saying is wrong is what she said. She didn't come out and say, I did not specifically make a list of people or whatever it was they're accusing her of and putting it out there, a list of unmasked people. She did say, though, that there was no spreadsheet, that everything they're saying is a lie. And they refused to believe her because her name is red meat to the Republicans. Her name is Benghazi.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And it doesn't, they just want something to deflect from what they're doing, you know, and oh my God, they all pile on because as opposed to our side, which is sort of like herding cats, on the yeah. on the right, they get their talking points and they all read right from the script. So if you do watch Fox or if you see any of the Republicans that, say, MSNBC brings on, and boy, they've got an endless parade of them these days, yep. they all say the same things down to the same words and phrases.
Oh, yeah, they got the memo. Yeah. Now, here's what they're trying to avoid. I have a few tabs up for you. Here's one thing that they don't want to talk about. Gorka, one of Trump's aides, Sebastian Gorka, backed a group later condemned by the European Court of Human Rights for attempting to promote an essentially racist legal order. He backed a violent group. That's one thing. That was by Josh Marshall of Talking Points memo.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get the link for you in a second. And then pre-inauguration, that was like 9 days before the inauguration, Blackwater founder Eric Prince, who is DeVos's brother,
Betsy DeVos's brother, right? Eric Prince. Yep.
DeVos. I always say DeVos. It's DeVos. You're right. Held a secret Seychelles meeting to establish a Trump-Putin back channel.
Yeah.
And for some reason, my link disappeared. That's weird. Here it is. The Trump administration objective that would likely require major concessions to Moscow on U.S. sanctions. And that came from... I'm trying to get Washington
Well, it's all
Post.
Over the place. The New York Times has.
Right,
I mean, it's everywhere.
It.
Right.
Meanwhile, another one, a former Trump advisor, which turned out to be Carter Page.
Oh, my God.
Met with a Russian spy.
Oh, my
and passed
God.
Information
well, you
to
know,
them
I don't,
unwittingly.
Yeah, I don't watch Rachel Maddow these days. I've got soured on her during the primary because she was so horrible to Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. But I caught some of her show last night when she's talking about the Carter Page thing. And he's just really a dumbass. He's just not very smart. And it turns out, and so she was talking about how, you know, the FBI got, you know, planted microphones in these binders that the Russians had. So they thought they were going into a secure facility, into a skiff, basically. And everything that they were saying when they thought they were in a secure place was recorded. And they were talking
right.
about this American who was male one, who was so stupid. And it turns out it was Carter Page.
I have
Page.
The quote.
Oh, my God.
I have the quote.
Okay.
Male one, who was Carter Page. This is what the spy is saying to the other spy. Male one, Carter Page, wrote that he is sorry. He went to Moscow and forgot to check his inbox, but he wants to meet when he gets back. I think he's an idiot and
yes.
forgot who I am. He got hooked on Gazprom, thinking that if they have a project, he could rise up, he said. I also promised him a lot. This is intelligence method to cheat. How else to work with foreigners? You promise favor for a favor. You get the documents from him and tell him to go fuck himself. That was what the spy said.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, it's just like the gang that couldn't shoot straight. You know, the Keystone Cops, whatever you want to call them. Oh,
only
my
it's real
God.
Serious. That's
it
the difference.
Is. Oh, and I just, you know, one thing I thought of you when this was happening yesterday. I'm watching Ali Velshi, who I really like. He was on during the day
too.
Yesterday, right?
Yeah.
He's smart. He's sharp. He knows his shit,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so he was on, I don't know what hour it was. It was during the day yesterday. And, you know, Lester Holt is in South Korea doing his show from there. By the way, he had a segment last night that was really frightening, where there's this defector who said, you know, be prepared because this maniac, dear leader, is planning on, you know, nuking everybody.
Right.
You know, so that's frightening enough. But Lester, so Ali Velshi had Lester Holt on, you know, I guess promoting the nightly news. And Lester kept calling him Ollie. Ollie. It sounded like Ollie North. And he said, you know, the first time I'm like, okay, it was a slip of the tongue. Then the second time he said it, I'm like, no, you got to be kidding me. Three times he called him Ollie. And then they went back in the studio and he had one of, you know, a regular, I don't even remember who it was, but one of the regular MSNBC guests, you know, the same people they have on all the time.
Right.
And this guy called him Ollie. And I just thought, oh my God. So he's thinking, have I been pronouncing his name wrong all this time? Lester Holt called him Ollie. It must be Ollie. And then they went to a commercial. Okay. When they came back, the guest made a point of saying, thank you, Ollie. It was just like, my God, he works for your company. You don't even know the man's name. Oh my God.
Yeah, he's on on before Andrea Mitchell.
Ollie.
Twice
Ollie,
or three
Ollie.
Times a week.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah. He's a semi-regular host.
Yeah.
He trades off with what's her name? I can't even think of her name. But anyway, he trades off. He's on two or three days a week.
Well,
and
you don't know this, but he's also often on at 5 o'clock in the morning, the show that used to be Way Too Early that isn't anymore. It's now First Look, they call it. It's Alex Witt.
Is that where she went?
That's where she went. She's on every morning at five to six because I'm up. So it's
that would be like at 2 a.m. my time.
Lately, it's been Ayman Mohyeldin and that Lewis Bergdorf guy who I don't know. He must have pictures of Phil Griffin sucking someone off or something because there's no reason for this man to be on the television. Although he has gotten better since they've given him this slot. But he used to be this sort of bumbling, you know, cute kid like, I'm the intern here.
Oh, I have no idea who that is. I've never heard of him.
Yep.
I've probably seen him and not even realize it.
No, because he's only on it between 5 and 6 in the morning.
Oh, okay. So I'm asleep.
Knows?
I'm so asleep.
So they switch off between, lately it's been Ayman Mohyeldin or Ali Velshi. Now I'm going to call him Ollie. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, there was some serious news today. So Dump's buddy, Putin, is in bed with Bashar al-Assad, who it seems, launched a chemical attack on his people again today.
Yeah, I just got an AP alert. I'm just reading this cold. Tillerson says Russia, Iran bear, quote, great moral responsibility for deaths in Syria from chemical weapon attacks.
Wait a minute. So Tillerson commented?
Yes, and it was about saying something not good about Russia. So that's like
a
double whammy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, he's out. You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's gone.
You know, he's not doing much anyway, except nodding at the camera and saying no comment. But, you know, poor Andrea Mitchell, not my favorite, but she is good about half the time. I've seen her be really good. And then I get really mad at her, but she has been trying her best to get him to comment. I give her credit for, you know, really hanging on like a bulldog, but he will not answer except to say, no, sorry. But yeah, he said Russia and Iran bear great moral responsibility for the deaths. So there you go.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to get out of this. I really don't. But I guess, you know, that's next up. It's Jared Kushner's new job. Here's another one.
Please.
I didn't have time in What's News to include this clip. But this was a great clip. It's Jake Tapper talking about all of this work, all of this responsibility heaped on Jared Kushner.
Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, has been dispatched to Iraq, where he met earlier today with the Iraqi Prime Minister al-Abadi. He's also in charge of brokering Mideast peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. No big deal. That shouldn't take long at all. He's also expected to have a major role in meetings with the Chinese president. Also very simple. Shouldn't be complicated. He's also reinventing the entire U.S. government
under
the Office of American Innovation. So apparently,
don't forget Canada, Mexico.
Mexico.
And
so Jared
sure
Kushner is in charge
else.
Of the world, apparently.
Yeah, that's right.
But there are people who are saying, what happened to the Secretary of State?
It's quite dramatic how many areas, and it's not just diplomacy, it's like diplomacy plus kind of economic / bureaucratic
stuff. It is tough to imagine, though, in an alternative universe, Chelsea Clinton having the portfolio, Mark Mizvinsky, her husband, having this portfolio.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if the situation were the opposite and Hillary Clinton had won and Chelsea had an office in the West Wing and Mark Mizvinsky was given, you know, all of these positions of authority?
You're going in and out on me, just so you know.
And you were going in and out on me. There's something weird. It's my connection. It's AT&T.
It's Skype. It's got it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, is it? Okay.
Yeah,
he's been given so much to do. And you're right. Had it been the other way around, they would have all been impeached by now and all been thrown out. But he and Ivanka are clearly being groomed to take on the role of the presidency in future years.
Well,
U.S. demands that Russia, Iran halt Assad chemical attacks in Syria, it says here, breaking news.
Who demands?
It just says U.S. Uh-huh. I'm assuming that it's the same thing about Tillerson. I'm just guessing here. I'm getting a whole bunch of alerts because they all come out through this one breaking news app that I have. And they're all saying the same thing in different ways.
Yeah, well, you know,
so there's different sources. One
well,
from AP.
This, you know, here's the scary part, because all the Republicans were all up in arms, so to speak, that Obama didn't launch, you know, missiles at Syria the last time Assad chemically nuked his people. Right. So now he's done it again. What's Trump going to do? Is he going to be weak or is he going to bomb him? Either way, we are so fucked. Either way.
And yeah, he was all over Obama about being too soft.
Yep.
So I just want to get back at Trump a little bit. You want to do Tweet Spot? Do
sure.
That?
Yeah. So yeah. Let's do it. We got this.
Welcome to my Tweet Spot.
I got to tell you, I don't get the first one.
Oh, because Cyrus McQueen is a comedian.
Yeah.
And he's black.
Okay.
And he was basically saying it's a coon joke. He said Senator Coons just voted no on Gorsuch. Somewhere Jeff Sessions is going, see, I told you ain't going to find Coons voting for Gorsuch.
I gotcha.
So he's,
okay.
He's a black,
it was
a black
person
voting for
joke.
Gorsuch. It was a black joke from a black comedian. And I know that it was going around and people weren't going to say it unless they felt comfortable saying it. This guy felt comfortable saying it.
Right.
I almost put that in my opening. It's funny. And then I thought, oh, I better not do that. That sounds bad.
Yeah, because
and
it would sound like you were saying it. So, yeah.
I could never. No, my God.
No.
I wouldn't even start typing it. That's how bad it was.
Right.
Okay. ProPublica.
Yes. Not a left-wing blog, by the way. You know, oh, my God. So
I'll just read you because it's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
So ProPublica types a series of tweets out. So Sean Spicer just called us a left-wing blog. Since we're actually in the biz of facts, we figured we'd respond with a few. Sean Spicer was trying to knock our story that Trump's trust was revised to say he can take money from the business anytime.
Yes, it was.
Sean Spicer. Yes, indeed it was. Mm-hmm. Sean Spicer said he's, quote, not aware of any change in the trust. And he then said this, just because a left-wing blog makes the point of something changing doesn't mean it actually happened. So then the next tweet is, the Trump trust document was revised and signed February 10th. Here you go. And they put out a picture of the document and how it was changed and signed all the, you know, everything you'd need to rebut Spicer. And then the fifth tweet, we do no surprises journalism. They're actually saying that ProPublica.
Right. Yep.
We told the Trump Organization and White House what we knew and gave them time to explain. They didn't. And then they put out, the Trump Organization did not answer detailed questions about the trust. In a statement to ProPublica about the company's corporate structures, a Trump Organization spokeswoman, Amanda Miller, said, quote, President Trump believed it was important to create multiple layers of approval for major actions and key business decision. And then it says read full statement. So they had put up a screen grab of their own reporting. Six, what we do is hold people in power accountable, no matter who they are or what names they call us. We do it with facts, like, number seven, the fact that Tom Price bought drug company stock same day he pushed policy that could help the company.
Yes. And by the way, this story needs to blow up. This is him again using insider information to enrich his own personal portfolio. And this one's more damning than the first one. Okay.
It is. And it has been mentioned, just so you know, I noticed last night some of the, I think it was Senate Democrats coming out and talking about that. Anyway, eight. The fact that Trump had quietly installed officials across the government to be his eyes and ears. And he provides a link, quote, "We have obtained a list of more than 400 Trump administration hires, including dozens of lobbyists and some from far right media." Nine, the fact that Jared Kushner isn't actually separating himself from his business empire. And he, you know, provides a link. 10, or the fact that five top Trump officials have made false statements to Congress and they provide a link. 11. And yes, our job always has been and will be holding all those in power accountable. 12. So we wrote about the fact that Obama caved to big banks and didn't deliver on his promises to help homeowners. And he provides a link. Yep. 13. We wrote about former Obama officials lobbying to push through a merger that could make flying more miserable. And he provides a link.
Yep.
14. And wrote about how Obama was falling short on his own promises to grant pardons. 15. So, any other facts you'd like to know, Sean Spicer?
Yeah, that, you know, it just shows how clueless Sean Spicer is to not know that ProPublica is a watchdog organization. And they're nonpartisan. They go after who's ever lying to us, who's ever, you know, fudging the facts. They find the facts.
Right. They report. They report facts.
What a
facts
concept.
Are something that the Trump, yeah, exactly. They're not familiar with things called facts. They say things as the LA Times series has been saying, and one of them was all about Trump lies. Trump says things and then lies again to change the subject from the original lie, and then lies again to switcheroo on the first lie and the second lie, and then lies again, and it's hard to tell whether he's doing this knowingly to distract, or knowingly that he's lying, or whether he honestly believes the stupid ass lies he's telling that he gets from watching TV when he should, like you said, be governing.
Yep, exactly.
Remarkable.
Here's another thing that I can't let our segment go by without addressing. In 2014, President Obama signed the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces Order to combat wage discrimination. It required companies under government contracts to practice paycheck transparency, which means they must detail hours, overtime hours, rates, additions, and deductions so people know exactly how their employers arrived at the number on their paychecks. It came in response to an investigation showing that 60% of businesses found guilty of the 50 worst cases of wage theft were given government contracts again. It was to keep, you know, to try to get us to the Lilly Ledbetter Act, to where men and women, you know, equal pay for equal work. Well, March 27th, right around the time that Ivanka Trump was being given the keys to her new office, Dumb signed an executive order, very quietly, this one, there was no big signing ceremony, that removes those protections that overturned the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces Order.
It's just unbelievable how they screw the very people who voted for them.
Yep.
I mean, here, let me come into and today I tweeted, if America, if all these pitches and all these proposals that Trump is putting out there sound there, it's because they're basically rehashes of his Trump University pitch.
Oh,
he's taking his bullshit pitches that he put out there that he had to pay out $25 million in a lawsuit for. And he's using them on Americans on every plan he claims to have come up with, which, of course, he hasn't. But he's like today when he was doing that speech to business people.
Oh, my God.
First, like you said, he spent a good 5 minutes talking about the Electoral College victory, which was utterly amazing that he spent that long. I could understand his mentioning it because he always does.
And at one point he talks about, and all of you here in this crowd voted for me, and people laughed and booed him. That's the one part I heard.
He's going on and on about totally nationalist, you know, like this America First stuff and, you know, flag waving stuff. And now he's going, and how the Keystone XL pipeline is going to create 42,000 jobs. He forgot to say that
for
35
five
are permanent.
Right.
35 jobs he's going to create. And how he's going to build bridges and roads. And again, under Obama, they were obstructed. All that infrastructure stuff, with one exception, was obstructed. His bigger plan was obstructed. Now that the Republicans are in office, they're going to go waving around infrastructure like it was their idea. Things will get done. Of course, they'll be privatized, but they'll get done, maybe. And they'll take credit.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. You know, I take solace in this four-part editorial from the LA Times.
Yeah, me
you know,
too.
More and more, you know, organizations that have been around forever, whether they be media organizations or community organizations, have to do this stuff. They all have to speak out, because eventually it's going to be Trump and Fox News and a few of those, you know, white women sticking up for him, and that's going to be it. And the rest of the world is going to be going, okay, we get it. We just have to run out the clock, essentially. But
I think the rest of the world gets it. I think it's some of the United States that doesn't get it.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. Well, we need to work on that. Anyway, we're just about out of time. Gotta laugh. Find her at Laffy's Place at NicoleSandler.com and, of course, on the Twitters and here every Tuesday. Thank you, Gotta Laugh.
Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay,
and for everybody else, stick around. We've got the Green News Report coming up for you in just a moment on the Nicole Sandler stream. And I'll see you tomorrow. We'll check in across the pond tomorrow.
It's Tuesday, April 4, 2017.
The wall of water so powerful, entire neighborhoods washed away.
Historic rains cause catastrophic deadly flooding in Columbia. Flint, Michigan residents force state to begin replacing lead-tainted water lines. Blue states take on Trump over energy efficiency standards. Coal pollution linked to high risk of low birth weight babies. Plus,
we will put our miners back to work.
New data shows Arby's and car washes employ more people than the U.S. coal industry.
That's why we got to put them back to work. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
My administration is putting an end to the war on coal. Gonna have clean coal, really clean coal.
Yes, clean coal. I know clean coal sounds like an oxymoron, but so does President Trump.
Getting used to it yet? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I'm sure you're going to beat up on Donald Trump in a moment, as you do. But hey, on Monday, he donated his first salary check as president to the National Park Service. Would you like to apologize to the president now?
No, it was only $78,000.
Only? That's a lot of money.
The National Park Service's maintenance and operations backlog is $12 billion. And Trump wants to cut the whole department by $2
billion. Yeah, well, when you put it that way, maybe you got a point. What else do you have for us today?
Well, on a much more serious note, in Colombia, South America.
The streets of Mocoa, Colombia were consumed by a wall of water late Friday night. Heavy rain triggered the overflow of three rivers, and the flooding quickly turned into an avalanche of mud.
Torrential record rains overnight Saturday triggered catastrophic flash floods and mudslides in the city of Mocoa, a wall of water that officials say swept away entire neighborhoods while residents slept. As we go to air, at least 262 people are now confirmed dead, hundreds still missing. Colombia's president, Juan Manuel Santos, has declared a state of emergency, and he blamed the disaster on climate change, which scientists say is intensifying extreme weather events. Here in the U.S., the U.S. Senate this week is battling over the confirmation of Judge Neil Gorsuch to the U.S. Supreme Court. Environmental groups oppose elevating Gorsuch, warning that his record is to the right of the late Justice Antonin Scalia on environmental and climate regulations that rein in industrial pollution. Meanwhile, the struggling community of Flint, Michigan, will get 18,000 new water lines to begin replacing its lead-tainted water system. It's the result of a $100 million federal court settlement between the state of Michigan and a coalition of residents and environmental law groups who sued the state to force it to replace the water lines and continue delivering clean drinking water to residents.
About time, although it's going to take a number of years before all of those pipes can finally be replaced.
Which is why it's so important that the clean water deliveries continue. And environmental law groups are also mobilizing new lawsuits against the Trump administration's assault on public health. The Sierra Club and partner organizations have filed suit against President Trump's decision to approve a permit for the controversial Keystone XL pipeline from Canada on the grounds that Trump's sudden approval, reversing President Obama's prior rejection, violates the federal regulatory process. And 10 state attorneys general, with a coalition of environmental groups, are suing the Trump administration over its abrupt reversal of 6 proposed energy efficiency standards for a host of appliances, arguing it's a violation of federal law to arbitrarily delay standards that would save American homes and businesses an estimated $24 billion in energy costs.
And enough electricity to serve 36 million households annually.
Meanwhile, a new study links air pollution from coal-fired power plants to a higher risk of low birth weight babies. Scientists at the University of Pennsylvania found that women living downwind from a Pennsylvania coal-fired power plant had a much higher risk of having babies with low birth weight, less than 5.5 pounds at birth. That was compared to women living away from the plant's air pollution. The higher risk held true regardless of the mother's wealth or access to health care.
But of course, it is the less wealthy who tend to live closer to those coal plants in the first place.
That's true, but this study showed that air pollution knows no city limits. Mm. Finally, a new report raises questions about Trump's fixation on the coal industry. A new Washington Post analysis of county employment data finds that even fast food restaurant chain Arby's employs more people than the entire U.S. coal mining industry. The car wash industry, the theme park industry, JCPenney, and Whole Foods each employ twice as many Americans as the entire coal mine industry. This data raises questions of why so much of U.S. energy policy is directed at just one highly polluting industry.
Follow the money, the fossil fuel money.
Indeed.
You got a lot of news into today's report. Nice going. For more on those stories and the ones Desi couldn't get in today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us and share us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Follow where the money goes. Follow where the money goes. Follow where the money goes. Follow the money. Yes, yes. Follow where the money goes.